SG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live sports talk show.
Coming to you across the country, that's all the states. Unlike Trump, you know, Trump didn't know how many states we had. No, I'm just saying. He don't know Puerto
Trump,
Rico's
man.
Part of the hookup. He thinks Puerto Rico's another thing.
Moving, man.
My bad. Hey, we're here and glad to be here. Kiki at the wheels, keeping everything in order. And my partner in crime and orchestrator of all this good stuff, Kevin Cameron, in the house by way of Aliquippa. We ain't going to hold that against him. We're going to rock and roll anyway.
It's an asset, Bill. You have to understand that.
Yeah, well.
You'll get it one day.
And you know what? When I'll get it? I'll get it when you – The hard part, Mike, is either Tony Dorsey's from Aliquippa
or he's not.
Now once I understand where he's from, then I can get it. I leave you alone.
How many schools are there in the city of Pittsburgh?
But the
so
the dossier says Hopewell
in Aliquippa.
The dossier says Hopewell. Kevin says Aliquippa.
Hopewell High
now,
School.
Well, if you
want to
claim Aliquippa, but if you want to claim a cat. Claim a cat that's from your
But you didn't answer my question. How many high schools are there in the city of Pittsburgh? What? So if someone goes to Shinley or Peabody or Oliver, are they from Pittsburgh?
They're from Pittsburgh.
Okay, so we have various schools in the city of Aliquippa.
Not at all
Hopewell
the same
just
thing.
Happens to be one of the high schools.
Hopewell is on the outside of Aliquippa.
No,
across
on
the bridge.
This is when you, yes. Not at all. Hopewell is part of Aliquippa. Hopewell is a township. Get your information right, Mr. Neal. I have to break you down.
I can tell you this.
Tell me.
I shot the sheriff.
Well,
but I did not shoot the deputy. Now let's move forward. Hey,
I broke you down. Now let's move forward.
If you feel better about yourself, look, we have to welcome a very, very special guest. God was at work this afternoon because we bumped into each other. Ain't seen each other for maybe a month. We saw somewhere a minute ago. But the great Mike Booth is in the house tonight, and we're going to talk football. West Virginia football, Steeler football, City League football.
Hold on, Bill. Now, I had Pitt on the agenda for today to talk Pitt football. And you mean to tell me you're throwing me off? We're talking West Virginia football?
Well, listen.
All right, since he's a guest, I guess we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And let's do it.
And since he used the bench 400 or something, I think it's best that we don't tangle with him. Let's just go with what I said.
Okay, we'll do it.
You know them City League guys, you know, they be packing stuff.
And, you know, one of the things we'll talk about as well, Pitt was predicted ACC Coastal. Fifth. We'll have to talk about that a little bit more because that's not getting it.
Well, we'll talk
that's
about that, and we'll talk about my Pittsburgh Pirates, not yours.
Oh, just your Pittsburgh Pirates,
man,
huh?
Please, look. And we'll talk about Tiger Woods,
who's
trying to meet your prediction as hard as he can. But here's the thing. Let me – Mike, you haven't been here. Mike Booth joins us, ladies and gentlemen, by way of Brashear High School and West Virginia University. And, Mike, you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, obviously, and I don't know if you've heard us, but we come to you online, and you may not have heard, in the last several weeks, I have done something unusual.
Okay.
I have made concessions here on the show. Now, much like you heard the little back and forth we had, on occasion, Kevin and I will disagree on a few things, usually when I can't get him to listen to what I'm trying to tell him. If he would listen to what I'm telling him, we wouldn't have any problem, but every now and then he thinks he knows more than the old school cat. But I had to concede that now that LeBron has left Cleveland and joined my Lakers.
Your Lakers.
My Lakers. I've been since 1970. I was there when Jerry West hit it from three-quarter court. So I'm a Laker man from way back. I have to concede now that I'm going to have to find a way to like LeBron James because I'm a LeBron James hater. I'm the president of the LeBron James Hater Club.
Well, that's going to give you a quite a dilemma right there.
I got a dilemma, but I did concede several weeks ago.
He's not starting off right, having you on the show, and one of the first things that...
Let me get to the point here. Let me connect the dots.
He says is he doesn't like LeBron James. You know something is wrong right there, right?
Let me connect the dots. Bear with me. So I had to concede that, and I will find a way. I will find a way to love LeBron. And then I had to concede, much against my wishes, that the Pirates were not a legitimate baseball team and they were just taking us for a ride to get the money. Well, and Kevin had convinced me to concede that. Except now we're on an 11-game run and I'm unconceding what I conceded. I'm going back to what I said from the gate. This is a serious baseball team. But here's why I say all that. Here is my third concession. This might be. There's got to be a record of some sort because I ain't never backed up on.
So that's two. You got two already.
I got two in. Here's the big one, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I am here to publicly apologize to Mike Booth. I am going on record across the city of Pittsburgh, all of Western Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, and across the country. This is a public apology to Mike Booth because how I. And anyone on my committee for the Pittsburgh City League High School Hall of Fame did not induct Mike Booth first round is a huge mistake. And I'm here to publicly apologize, Mike, that I, heavy is the head that wears the crown. It's my committee. We missed it. We missed it on you, and we missed it on Rod Rutherford. You and Rod Rutherford should have been first round nominees and inductees, and you have my public apology.
Well, I accept your apology, Bill. It's
no problem. You know what? Don't take the high road, man. You don't have to do that. Don't take the high road. You know, Terrell Owens, he set the bar.
Set it up, huh?
He set the bar. So when you get inducted, don't even show up, man. Just throw a party at home. Invite all your friends over and everything, you know.
Come on, man. I'm trying to be some humility here. But in all sincerity, we inducted Mike year before last. At the biggest Hall of Fame induction yet. Over 600 people at the Heinz History Center.
Turned some people away also.
And turned some people away. And some people left on their own. Hey, Mike, I didn't know. But in my excuse is always because I'm not a City League cat born and bred. I'm a Whippio guy that came into the city some years ago. But with that being said, Kevin, let me properly introduce Mike Booth, who was Parade All-American.
Correct.
At Brashear High School when men were men, when it was serious football. Probably one of the five top linebackers in the nation.
Yes.
If not top three.
Top three in the nation.
Top three in the nation, given your humility. And then, as you informed me, because I didn't know, and I don't think many people know, you lettered in four sports.
Four sports.
And you suggest that you might be...
one of the top Brashear High School students who ever had the most letters.
So, but
varsity letters.
Across the City League, how many people would you guess lettered in four sports? That's amazing on any level.
I don't think a lot of kids wanted to balance everything. Me, I took everything in stride. After football season was over, I jumped into basketball. Basketball kind of mixed in with football and swimming. I did swimming. And then after that, I did baseball.
And
track.
I was about to say, so was track not part of the equation?
Track was part of the equation. I threw the shot put and just ran to stay in shape.
Yeah. So, but here's the trick in that mix: swimming. You lettered in swimming
in high school.
As a 200 and what pound linebacker?
215 at the time, sophomore, and 225 my junior.
That's stroking.
Well, that comes back from growing up in the Hill District. You got all these pools. You had Ammons Recreation Center. You had a lot of other places you can go swimming. So, hey, go work on your strokes. Go in there and go swimming and learn it at a young age, and that was it.
Well, let's talk about that. So, take us back. Brashear High School, you came out what year?
I came out in 1989.
So, all-city football player, all-city basketball player.
Two-time Pittsburgh player of the year, my junior and senior year.
In football?
In football.
Okay. and a darn good basketball player.
Right. We went to city championship my ninth grade year and my senior year.
Now, what about
two
state,
champs?
What about state level?
At the state level, we lost in basketball state level in Hershey to Chester.
Understand.
1989, that was a championship game with Chester. And football, we that was the first year of the state playoffs, PIAA playoffs, and we won the championship. But we had to wait 3 weeks to get back into it, so that was kind of a slow pedal for us to get back. We won the city championship, and then we end up playing Central Catholic, and we lost to them 14-17, and Central ended up winning that championship year that year. That was the first PIAA state playoff championships.
When you think back to those accomplishments, are you cognizant of what you did, and were you cognizant of it while you were doing it? In other words, as a high school student, were you fully aware that you were embarking on four letters and nonstop for 2 years?
It was really 4 years nonstop, but I took it in stride because it was part of just keeping me grounded and also keeping me out of trouble. Growing up in the Hill District, it was a lot of things going on a lot of kids can get into. So it was taking those steps and just say, you know what, why come home? Just stay right at school, play basketball.
So as I understand it, and I need you to explain it, you went to West Virginia because, is it true you went to West Virginia because you chose not to go to Pitt, even though they desperately wanted you?
Oh, Pitt desperately wanted me. I just chose to go away a little bit because growing up in the Hill District, I see walk past Pitt, you know, I could throw a rock and hit the stadium. So it was just more of a getaway, just an old hour away, and just concentrate and have fun down there. And West Virginia at the time was coming up. You know, we had Major Harris. They had a lot of guys. They just came off of playing for the national championship. So, hey. Right. That's a great opportunity to go down there and, you know, get some playing time right away.
So my question then becomes, how is it that one of the top two or three linebackers in the nation, given Pitt, West Virginia, and Penn State, doesn't go to linebacker U? Do you remember that being part of the equation?
That wasn't part of the equation. I think my mind was set on, you know, going to West Virginia and just making things happen. But I had offers from a lot of other schools. But, yes, you know, West Virginia was a great fit for me.
Very good, very
time.
Good. So an illustrious high school career that landed you into the Pittsburgh City League Hall of Fame and that was established now in our fifth year. It's been 5 years already. So consider yourself part of the first class, even though it took 2 years to get you.
I'll accept that.
Thank you. Now, after West Virginia, what happened?
After West Virginia.
No, not after West Virginia. How was West Virginia? How did your career complete itself at West Virginia, and then what happened afterwards?
Well, the biggest thing was going down, and they just played for a national championship in 1988. They lost to Notre Dame. So you're going down in when they had high expectations, a lot of returning players. So more likely, you know, I didn't get a chance to, you know, show them what I can do my first year. In the second year, third year, you know, I was part-time starter. Then we went to a whole different defense. And, you know, I went from linebacker. Then they, you know, they were transforming to like a 4-3 defense. And I went from linebacker my junior year and senior year. You know, they put me at like a rush-in, you know, James Harrison type rush-in coming off the edge. So it was a good experience. You know, I had a great time. I wouldn't chose no other school, but that was just the breaks, you know, going into a whole different defense. You know, a lot of kids now, they go into college and, you know, they try to fit that offense what they do in this, you know, during their school year or during their season. So now it flipped over. It was a change from a regular defense. I think they went to a 52, then they went to like a 4-3 with two rush-ins, a drop-in, kind of what the Steelers play.
And of course, all was not lost because you were at the number one party in school in America.
Well, I'm not a partier though. I don't go.
Oh, so you were a part of that.
No.
But they were partying around you.
2 years in a row.
All right. I know it. And having gone to Slippery Rock, where we had national ranking in that category, I can appreciate your time at West Virginia. So, all in all, great time.
Yeah, great time, great opportunity, great, you know, chance to play at the highest level. You know, we won Big East champs in 1993, you know, and we ended up going to the Sugar Bowl. So, I played in two bowl games, my freshman year and then my senior year.
Great.
And that was it. Had an opportunity to have some trials, pick my home team, Steelers. Called me up. I, you know, worked out for them, you know, went into mini camp, but didn't get invited up to Latrobe. So that was something, you know, that was great to have an opportunity to do
that. Sure. Well, and that would be ahead of the 99% of all the other human beings on the planet that don't get that opportunity. So,
I was blessed to get that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, for me, the greater part of me knowing you has been as a coach.
Correct.
So how long after West Virginia and the pro opportunities did you set your sights on coaching?
Well, right after things didn't work out for me as far as, you know, going to football and getting an opportunity at the next level, I went back and worked on my master's degree down in West Virginia. So I was a graduate assistant, 94, 95, and 96. So it was 3 extra years, got my master's degree, went down there and coached.
Man, you got it all
done. As a graduate assistant.
Got it all done the right way. That's great.
Appreciate that.
Well, look, we got him in the house tonight, and we'll keep talking to Mike Booth, and we'll get caught up on a couple other things. I wanted to get my partner to let you know what you're listening to and how you can find us on the regular. It is Soul Tech Champions Live, but for some of those Westinghouse and Peabody grads, Kevin, who, you know, someone can't read and stuff, can tell them how to find us.
Bill, you threw me off with that. Now, can you repeat what you said?
No, I don't
because
want to repeat it. I don't want to repeat
I would like for you to repeat
I'd rather
it.
Not. I'd rather
okay,
not.
Well, we'll move on. So, we're here, Bill, every Wednesday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., urbanmediatoday.com. People could also connect with us. We're on Twitter, Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports.
So after Trump's morning tweet, they can find us? Does it work like that?
Well, you always like to try to include the crazy man, Donald Trump, in this conversation.
You know, and keeping people on their toes, keeping people reminded and aware that if we want to change the circumstances that are, everybody vote. And don't wait to the next presidential election. The midterms are coming up. This sports talk show, but every now and then we mix it up. Everybody get ready to vote and get that knucklehead out of the White House. And that's why I keep talking about him. So we don't forget, this accident has to be corrected.
And again, we can't wait until 2020. We have to do it this year, 2018, even though it's not a presidential election. But, you know, the congressmen and the senators will be up, you know, this fall, so we need to vote the right way.
That's right. Look, let's go to in a matter of hours, the Pittsburgh Steelers
be going to
get at it. It's time. It's here. It seemed like forever getting here, and all of a sudden it's here. So Mike, for you, let's go back 3 months, 4 months after your final college game at West Virginia U and sights set on the NFL, having just said you were in Steeler mini camp. What are those rookies thinking right now? What's the preparation? What's the mindset for the rookies and the newbies heading up to Chuck Noll Field in the Trobe?
Well, their first mindset is just to take in as much as you can and learn from the veterans, learn from the guys who've been there, learn from the guys who've, you know, take those steps, the same steps that these rookies are in. But, you know, more likely it's going to come at them fast. You want to be healthy. You want to make sure, you know, you're prepared to do what you need to do to try to make that roster spot.
So as we prepare for this season, we've been assessing their offensive and defensive positions over the last couple of weeks. Kev, I don't know if you want to go ahead and jump in on what you're thinking at this point, but certainly what is at the top of the agenda is Le'Veon Bell's about to get all the money he asked for because the door has been opened. And I think it's safe to say that apparently Le'Veon and his people knew just what they were talking about when they said, give me all the money that I'm worth because I'm worth more than you're offering me.
Okay, so I guess you're referring to the signing of Todd Gurley, the running back.
Yes.
Signed a 4-year deal with the LA Rams, and that was actually an extension that takes the running back through the year 2023 with, out of the $60 million, $45 million guaranteed. Now, based on the information,
that's a whole lot of money, man.
A whole lot of money. And based on what I've been hearing, when you compare that to a Le'Veon Bell, it was very similar from a guaranteed money standpoint, but hey, I understand 2-6 feels that he's better than Todd Gurley, therefore should get paid a lot more. So we'll see once he hits the open market next year after this season. So it's expected that Le'Veon Bell will not report to training camp.
Like he did last year,
and probably will report the Monday of the week of the regular season, which is fine with me, because if there's anyone that will be ready to roll when it's time to go, it's Le'Veon Bell. And last year was the first full season that Le'Veon Bell played in his career, and it's the first time he missed training camp. So if you say he started slow and that contributed to it, all right, I'll buy that. I'll take that over him being hurt and not being available when it's really time to play big boy football, and that's, you know, during the playoffs. Now, one of the things I also wanted to bring up before we get back to Le'Veon Bell is important to note that the Steelers on Tuesday signed their first-round draft pick, Terrell Edmunds, the safety, first-round draft pick. So I understand he signed a four-year contract. All of the details as far as the financials and guaranteed money and all of that, option years and everything else, has not been disclosed as of yet. However, the Steelers did sign all of their draft picks. So everyone is in camp with the exception of Le'Veon Bell, unless now – you know, we record on Tuesdays, Mike.
Okay.
And, you know, we air on Wednesday night, again, from 7 to 9 p.m., unless he surprises someone and show up. I doubt it, but I just had to throw that out there.
Well, he would shock everybody. And I think, not across the board, but in some cases, especially in a case like this, here's a guy that stays in top shape all year long. It's a different day. It's a different time. You know, athletes are conditioned differently and have a different approach. I think he's proven that he's capable of missing training camp, as would be the case with a couple others. And over the years, as a matter of fact, you can go back a few years and some of the players that needed it or wanted it would get that exemption. But, Mike, you've been that kind of athlete, four-letter man in high school, major university player, always in top condition, certainly since all the time that I've known you.
Thank you.
That kind of conditioning, that kind of mindset, do you see it affecting Le'Veon?
I don't see it affecting him whatsoever. I think he knows what he needs to do to get his body right to come into camp. And after 2 or 3 weeks in camp, first game, he'll be ready to play. You know, he'll be ready. The rust will be off, and then, you know, he'll go out and do what he needs to do and carry us the same way he did last year.
And let me add this. I think he'll be ready from a running back standpoint of running the football and picking up blitzes and everything else, because he's one of the best pass blockers around that I've seen.
Yeah, right.
I think where he would have to play catch up is in the passing game, because you have to get that timing with your quarterback. Okay. And by missing time, you're going to miss that. So I think if the Steelers bring him on slowly in that aspect of the game, they should be fine.
So that being said, Mike, okay, linebacker question for you. Shazier is out and presumably will be out. And,
right,
and we've talked about Shazier on this show. We offered the prayers and the adulation and the hope that miracle would bestow him and all the good stuff. But I think we also have offered that it looks like it's a long shot.
It's a long shot.
You know, we're all athletes. We know what it feels like to get hit at some point in your life when you get hit like that and you never forget that hit. For me, it would be hard for me to imagine that he can displace the memory of that hit and be able to move forward, even if his body was working in tandem with his mind. How do you forget that hit and go back and be able to deliver again?
So, well, that's the hardest thing for an injured athlete, or, you know, especially, you know, playing that position at linebacker for the Steelers, for him to come back and just go out there and do it again. But I mean, I'm quite sure his heart's saying, his mind's saying it, but, you know, it's his physical will to try to do what what he was doing. You know, it's hard. It's too hard for any linebacker to do that.
Hey, Mike, take me back. Who's your hardest hit? Do you remember it?
I had, I think, a couple hits against Oliver, a couple against Perry. I knocked a few couple guys out the game. Clear, good shots, not dirty shots. It was all part of the game.
But anybody on the national level that we would remember?
No,
because I heard that you were a demon on special teams too. So yeah, but I know you delivered some blows on that.
I just went down and did my job. I don't recall none of the other guys, but
you
I used to go down.
YouTube anything?
You can bring something up on YouTube.
Yeah, we gotta find something on YouTube, something. Man. Something. Yeah.
Them special team that. Cats and kamikaze. Hey. Them guys are crazy. Them guys go down like that. Man,
you got to have a whole different aspect going down special teams, you know.
And that was a different day and time as well.
Correct.
Yeah. Well,
look, I can remember getting hit so hard that I can feel it right this second. So I know what it's like. All we can do is continue to hope and pray that Ryan Shazier finds his way, and maybe a miracle does come. But go ahead.
And from a Ryan Shazier standpoint too, Bill, I would like to talk about on the other side a very similar situation that occurred in Major League Baseball, where a pitcher, you know, was in a situation seriously injured and probably thought he might not pitch again. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Let's do that after the break. We'll be right back in a moment. More Mike Booth, more Kevin Cameron, and some updates on the Steelers and Pirates.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? Now, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com.